communities that's in the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, as well as the different races, as well as the different sexes, you know. And we made sure in choosing our speakers that we had both sexes represented fully in the room. And the young lady that will be our opening speaker, her home group is the East Side. Nope, it's the Root Group on the East Side of Pittsburgh. And she has a strong message. She was highly recommended to me. And her name is Melissa E. Would you welcome Melissa E, please?
Hi, family. My name is Melissa, and I'm a grateful recovering addict. I would ask if we can have a moment of silence so that I can get out the way and my higher power can do what he does. Amen. Again, my name is Melissa, and I'm a grateful recovering addict. It's real ironic of the topic that I picked because right now I'm on this step, which is step three. You know, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. And I'm going to go back a little bit from growing up as a little kid. I was raised in the church. You know, my grandfather was a minister. My mom's an evangelist. My aunt's a minister. You know, my mom played the piano in the church. So when I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and y'all told me about this God that I had to find, I thought I already knew God. Like, how are you telling me about God? I was raised in the church. I know who God is. But the longer and longer that I kept coming around, I started realizing that I didn't have a God of my own, but I was actually worshiping my mother's God. So as I came around the rooms, and they were talking about making this decision, I didn't really feel like I didn't really feel like I could make a decision. Because all of my decisions were the wrong ones. Getting high all the time. My children gone. My family gone. You know, I didn't have a home of my own. I'm running the streets. Didn't know if I was coming or going. So what decision can I make? How can I make a clear decision on anything? So therefore, I thought that God didn't exist for me. As I was running the streets, I didn't think that God had my back because the God that I served wasn't a forgiving God. I was raised in a church where you look up at the preacher and they're like, God's going to burn you down. You know, you can't do nothing wrong. You know, you can't turn your back on God or anything. So while I'm sitting there getting high, right, I thought that if I turned around and got high, God wouldn't see me. You know, I thought that he wouldn't see me getting high. So as long as I kept turning my back, I swear I'm going around in a circle, kept turning my back, he wouldn't know what I was doing. What I realized coming to the room of Narcotics Anonymous is that no matter which way I turn, God is always there. He is always there. You know, again, so I made this decision. You know, I'm sitting here listening to everybody about making this decision and about powerlessness and just all these different things. It was kind of overwhelming. You know, coming off the street, just getting clean, didn't have a clear mind, I'm still foggy, not being able to focus. I'm like, what are these people talking about? When I came around the rooms, I thought it was a cult. You know what I mean? I didn't understand, like, what God do you really have? You know, I didn't understand that everyone has a different God for themselves. I didn't understand that I can get a relationship with my higher power and be cool with that. That I can pray to my higher power and know that he's always going to be there for me. It took me a long time to reach that determination, to reach that experience in my life, in the rooms, that I could have this God. And it was okay. You know, and I have to say, for a long time, I pretended like I had a higher power coming around these rooms. Because I wanted to be like everybody else. I always felt growing up that I wasn't a part of things. So I felt like I had to say, yeah, I got a higher power so that I can be a part of y'all, not realizing that just me being an addict, I'm a part of. You know, I'm already a part of this fellowship. So I would pretend, and I didn't really have a God because of the things that happened in my life, because I was getting clean. I was doing the right things, but they still took my children from me. You know, just a year ago, my rights were terminated from all three of my children. So I didn't believe that God had my back. I really didn't believe that he had my back. I said, how are you taking my kids, my seed? How are you taking my kids from me? But you love me. But you're always going to be there for me. You're going to listen to me when I pray to you. When I write to you, whatever I felt like doing that day. I didn't believe that he would be there. And it took a long time. It took this whole past year, I think, to really come to a conclusion that without God, I won't stay clean. I will not stay clean. Without my higher power, I will not stay clean. And it took me a long time because you know what? Me losing my children almost took me up out of here. There's many times and many meetings I cried, snorted, yelled, screamed, kicked my feet. I didn't understand what was going on. I didn't know what to do. But everyone kept telling me, keep coming back, Melissa. Your kids are going to come home, Melissa. And then someone told me something that I say all the time now because I'm starting to believe it, is that God is preparing me for the moment when my children do come home. He's preparing me to be that woman, that mother, that sister, you know, that child of my mother that I'm supposed to be. And it's like, it took me a long time to really realize that no matter what trials and tribulations that I go through, it's only nobody, nothing but my higher power that's getting me through. Can nobody in these rooms get me through? You get me through by me listening to your stories and you're listening to suggestions. But I mean, as far as when I'm laying in bed at night and no one's answering the phone or I don't have the courage to pick up the phone, that's the hit. Almost all the time, I don't have the courage to pick up the phone, whether it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon or 1 o'clock in the morning. It's hard for me to pick up that phone saying, help me. I need your help. And it took a long time for me to lay there in bed and say, God, help me. My higher power, whom I choose to call God. You know, I really didn't believe, and I just didn't think that anyone could help me through anything. Because I was always on my own. At 12 years old, my father died. A year later, my mom had her first stroke. So I'm 12 years old, 13 years old, putting a bedpan underneath my mother's behind because my brother didn't feel like he could do it. Going to physical rehab with my mother, teaching her how to walk again, talk again. You know, these are things that I had to do, and I was always on my own. When my brother started raising me after my father had died, my mom got sick, all of a sudden I was allowed to do whatever I wanted. Now, years had gone by, and I'm driving around the car. My brother's selling herb, so I'm stealing his weed. You know what I mean? I'm doing everything that I'm not supposed to do. You know, everything that I was taught. Although I was worshiping my mother's God, I was still taught some morals and some values that I just threw out the door. It didn't matter to me. It truly did not matter to me, and I kept getting high in the progression. And this whole time, like I said, I thought if I turned my back, God wouldn't know what was going on with me. I could keep it a secret. I can keep hiding. You know, I used to think that my kids didn't know. I used to think that me being stuck in the bathroom for 2 hours, saying I was getting a shower, running a shower, turning it off. Oh, I got to get back in, Brendan. Turning it back on. Flushing the toilet like 10 times. They didn't know. See, my kids knew before I picked up. There was a time that I had 2.5 years clean in these rooms. And I was living for the 1 year, my last year, like I was getting high. I wasn't paying the bills. You know what I mean? I wasn't washing clothes. Instead of washing clothes, I'd go to the store, Burlington or wherever, and buy some outfits for my kids and myself. Before I washed clothes, I was living like I was getting high. I was in that behavior, in that mode, like I was getting high. And my son would always tell me, Mom, did you pay the electric bill? Now, mind you, my son's 6 years old at this time. I made my son into a man. He was my companion. He took care of his little sister. When he was 4 years old, I will never forget. This is how God has graced me, and I believe that my higher power even graces everyone, including my children, because I was dope sick on the couch. I was dope sick on the couch, sleep. And I woke up and I said, why is my baby crying? And I go in and I check her. And I didn't notice she had a different outfit on or nothing. And then my son taps me and says, Mommy, it'll be okay. I fed her, Mommy. I pushed 110 on the microwave, Mommy. I changed her diaper, Mommy. And I put new clothes on her. And laid her back down to sleep. 4 years old. Like I said, he was my companion. He was the man of the house. That's not something that I'm happy about, but it's something that I have to remember. If I don't remember these things, there ain't no praying or nothing that's going to bring me out of the grips of this addiction. I mean, that's just for me. Because I believe if I go back out there, I'm going back out there. And I know that about myself. So I know that something got to go down for me in these rooms in order for me to stay here. I got to keep hearing y'all's story. I got to keep getting hope from people. You know, because without that, I have nothing. I have nothing. And as I was saying, you know, my son, you know, he's 11 years old today. I missed his last two birthdays. 1 year because I was getting high. The other year I was getting clean thinking the judge will give me my kids back because I'm getting clean. I'm here to tell you that sometimes if you're in front of that judge too many times, whether it be criminally or whether it be with your children, that judge is tired of looking at you. It don't matter how clean you are. Because sometimes you got to go through consequences clean. And I had a big consequence losing my three children. It's only through the grace of God that there was family besides my baby girl who's 2 years old. Only through the grace of God. You know, but like I said, I was in relapse mode for a long, long time. And I was going to work. I mean, I was in my three-piece suits. I was working at PNC Bank. I'm doing the thing, thinking I'm okay. I can do this. I don't need to call my sponsor now. I don't need to keep praying. Okay? I don't need to do the steps. I don't need to go to meetings. I don't need none of that. I got a PNC Bank. I'm making $500 a week. You can't tell me nothing. $500 a week. That's the most I ever made in my life. Shit, I was happy. You know what I'm saying? And it was like, I thought that I could do everything on my own at this point again. See, I didn't learn from my mistakes before. I didn't see my pattern. I didn't understand that. When they said, look at your pattern. You know, whenever you're in a program, they tell you to write a chemical history. I don't know if anyone here has been in a program. They say write a chemical history, which is the history of when you started using until the time that you stopped. I didn't see the pattern. I was in the same pattern the whole time. Stop praying. Stop calling my sponsor. Stop going to meetings. Stop calling people. All this and all that. Next thing I know, I'm in a bar getting a shot of vodka. And before that shot of vodka, I was riding the bus around where I live because I just moved there. And I was saying to myself, I'm just trying to find my surroundings. But in the back of my mind, what I was doing was seeing where I could cop at. I was peeping where I could cop at. Because when I got that shot, I knew right where to go. Climax and Curtin. Belle Suver, PA. I knew where I was going. And that's what I did. I went and I got high. I only got high that time for a couple of days, and I hurried up and got my butt to another program. Because I was like, man, no, I ain't taking my kids again. You know, I went to another program, had a year clean, thinking again, I got this, my pattern. I didn't see my pattern. I didn't know that I should just keep praying and just hold on. Keep coming back. There's meetings, especially in Pittsburgh, there's meetings almost 24 hours out of the day. There's no reason for me to go pick up. None. But I did. And that's when I lost all three of my children. I was out there for 6 months, not going to my visits, not calling them. My son didn't know if I was dead or alive. I called the caseworker. She said, your son's worried about you, Melissa. Why don't you call him? And I just couldn't call because I was in that grip. I was all up in that pipe. I didn't know what I was doing. When they tell you that when you're in the grip of this disease, you are powerless over that drug and you're into that drug, you can't see nothing else. I know I couldn't see nothing else. All I saw was Negley Avenue. And I ran up and down Negley Avenue like I didn't have no kind of sense. I was jumping in and out of cars. All my gets came true. See, this is why I had to make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood it. Because all I was doing, finally I was going to jail. Then I'm jumping in and out of cars. Never did that before. Never did it before. The first time I did it, I'm standing on the corner looking like stupid. Like, what am I supposed to do, flag someone down? I didn't know what I was doing. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have a clue. But I got in that car. When someone pulled over, I jumped in that car. Didn't matter how much money it was. Because at that point, that drug didn't give me no quota. You know what I'm saying? It didn't matter how much it was. Now, I'm not proud of that. I'm far from proud of that. But I'm just trying to tell you where the disease took me. This is my story. This is my story, and it's something that I have to remember. I have to keep this fresh in my mind, because once I start getting complacent and start thinking I got this thing again, is whenever I'll be right back out there on Negley Avenue, Penn Avenue, using, and thinking it's okay. Because my disease tells me, it's okay, you can have just one. You learn from the people in the rooms how you could do it right. You heard their stories. Yeah, they might have messed up somewhere, but you can figure out where they messed up at. I can figure it out. See, my disease talks to me like that, but then it's like I'm talking to myself. And that trips me out. I'm like, what's going on? You know, Melissa, you know you can do it. I'll be thinking, I can do it. I can do it. I know I can. I know it. All I got to do is, if I have $50, all I got to do is just spend $25 and leave. That's all I got to do. Knowing damn well that I'll be right back around the corner. I'll leave, come right back around the corner, and spend the next $25. That's all that'll happen. And it just keeps going, and that cycle and in that circle, it just keeps going all over the place I'll be. All over the place. It got me coming to these rooms. Coming to these rooms got me in a state where I can finally look at myself in the mirror today. It took me a long time to be able to look myself in the mirror. I would walk past the mirror. I mean, literally look myself in the mirror. I would walk past the mirror and just glance. I never saw who I truly am as a person until I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And I started peeling away all those layers. And I'm not done. I only got a dent in there. I'm not done. I got over 18 months clean. Again. Because I'm a product to keep coming back. And I just keep praying that this time I stay. You know, this time I stay. And I keep peeling away at little things. And there are things that I have to be honest with y'all, that that right now, I feel myself going back into that pattern. Because I haven't been calling people the way I'm supposed to be calling people. I slacked off on my meetings. I used to go 2-3 meetings 7 days a week. Now I'm glad, happy if I go to 2 meetings a week or 1. See, I got to be honest. Because if I'm not honest, I'm going to die. Plain and simple. I will die if I'm not honest. Standing up here is a very humbling experience for me. To sit here and say that I haven't talked to my sponsor in a week and a half. I've been down with this third step, but I'm so scared to call her. Because you know what? When we go over the steps, she pulls my card on a lot of stuff. And I think I'm right about everything. So now she's going to pull my card. I'm afraid to call her because I'm right. But little what I know, as soon as I get with her, she's going to put me in my place. But you see, that's where I need to be. I need guidance. I need suggestions. Instead of it always being my way. It's hard for me to get on my knees and pray to my higher power half the time. Because I think I got this thing. I think I can handle this thing. I'm not going to pick up. I'm not going to pick up. I'm not going to pick up. No matter what, I'm not going to pick up. No matter what. But if I keep putting myself like this, thinking I got it, what's going to happen? I'm going to use. I ain't got nothing. I ain't got nothing. You know, it's just, man, standing up behind this podium and knowing that you have to be honest, it does something to you. It does something to me. You know, I'm sitting here wide open. Wide open, vulnerable, don't know what's going to happen, don't know if anyone's listening. You know what I'm saying? But see, that's when I got to turn around and say, I'm behind here for me. I have to help myself out. I got to tell the truth for me. You know, I made a decision to turn my will and my life over the care of God. I got to stop taking it back. I'll turn my will and my life over when that pain is so great and it just hurts. I can't even breathe. Then I'm like, dear Lord, just take it, please, Lord, just take it, just take it, just take it. Then once it starts feeling better, okay, God, you give it back to me now. I think I can handle it now. I got this. Don't got nothing. Barely got my own sanity, let alone any circumstance that's going on in my life. You know, I keep wondering, you know, where did I go wrong? See, I'm just telling you what goes through my head. I know that it's not logical. I know that my best thinking got me right here, a seat in the rooms are Narcotics Anonymous. I know that. See, my thinking so distorted and talks to me in so many different ways that I think it's the truth. I think that when that little voice in my head or my little voice tells me, Melissa, write it down. They tell you to write stuff down. Write it down how you can get high. That's what that voice tells me. Come on, you write it down. You know the steps. You know how you can maneuver it. I can't maneuver nothing. Nothing at all. No, and I keep wondering and I keep thinking, dang, Melissa, when are you going to get it? When are you going to get it? When are you going to understand fully? Because I can sit up here and tell you what part of me believes. Because I have to say, since losing my children, like I said, it's been hard for me to make that decision. And I can sit up here and say that part of me, man, I'm thinking I'm making that decision. I think I'm on the right path, and then boom, here I come. I want to get in the way. Then there's a part of me like, man, your kids are gone. And whenever you know, I don't know if anyone experienced that, your kids being taken from you, and you know you can't see them again. And everyone keeps telling you, Melissa, you're going to see them again, you're going to see them again. But there's a part of you, that little mustard seed of hope that I have, but there's times where I don't have that hope, I don't have that faith, I don't think I'm ever going to see my kids again. So how am I praying to this God when I pray to Him, please don't take my kids? How am I making a decision to this God? How can I do that? I don't understand. I can't comprehend that. How am I on my knees? Or how am I writing? How am I doing anything that my higher power wants me to do when that one thing that I asked for, I couldn't get? And there I go with my self-centeredness. Like I should get something in return. What do I get? You know, can I get that outfit? Can I get that car? Can I get this? Can I get that? Can I get my kids? But I can't. And I have to accept that. And I have to keep going and keep going and keep going. And one day that decision is going to come and I'm going to have to make that decision. I have to make that decision. I can't just let part of me make that decision. All of me has to make that decision to turn my will and my life over to God as I understand Him. You know, and okay, so I don't know. I'm just so honored that, you know, my buddy back there, James, asked me to speak. You know, and I'm so honored to be here and be amongst other recovering addicts that is willing to listen and willing to let me sit up here and vent and tell you what the things that I've gone through with this step three, you know, and things that I'm still going through with this step three. And I just pray that everyone has a good time today. Thank you. My name is Melissa, and I'm a grateful recovering addict.